This is How to Business and Show Business, where we talk about the business of show, the podcast that discusses ways to work smarter, not harder. If you're a performer at the beginning of your career or a student interested in going into the performing arts, this is the podcast for you. For more about the podcast, you can find our website at businessandshowbusiness.com. There you can learn more about the business of performing arts with coursework, videos with shop talk, and interviews with other professional performers. Now here's your host, Corbett.
And we're back with part two of our conversation with Josh Sasnilla on the agent perspective. As always, if you haven't listened to part one, go back, listen to part one, it was the week before, and then come listen to part two. So we're going to truck on with our questions. Now, we're going to really get into it. So here are a couple of things of what you can expect in part two of this conversation. What is an agent? Okay, what do they do? A big boutique versus a small boutique. How can you do your due diligence and your research when you're looking for your, when you're going to make these submissions? You know, your marketing, your product, your type, and the brand. At the end of the day, does it come down to talent? Not getting complacent when you're signed. You know, you as the actor are that 90% and your agent is the 10%, and being proactive. Those are just a couple of the things of what we talk about. So without further ado, here's part two of that conversation.
As you've now transitioned from in front to now behind the camera, as we say in show business, I always get a lot of questions from some of the kids on TikTok, and I know how to answer them, but I think it would mean more coming from someone who is an agent, right? So let's start out with just the basic round of questions. Again, you don't know what you don't know. What is an agent as opposed to a manager?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what is an agent. But here's what I know. While I don't know per se what an agent does, I know what Ann Steele does or mm-hmm. did. I know what I do. Mm-hmm. And all agencies do it differently. I think in the blanket way that I look at it, you know, if somebody says, what does an agent do? Obviously, we try to help actors facilitate forward movement by creating a space where they can have opportunities to audition and book jobs. That's the front layer. The second layer for me is we then advocate for what is, to use the F word, fair, afterwards. And be the intermediary between what the business side from the producer might want from the actor. Third layer down behind that, I think ultimately is I'm a coach, not just in your performance, but also in steering energy about as well. If you need to take another class on film acting, I might say it, but I'm definitely going to also say that you don't need any more of that. Let's talk about what else we can be doing. So, you know, I think I personally act a bit more as a manager in that way, because I find that once the opportunities are created, a lot of agents kind of leave it there. I personally move in and go, okay, now let's talk about, since you have this opportunity, how we put you forward and let you capitalize on the material that you send, etc.
Can we talk about that? Because I know this is a conversation you and I have had, but again, just repeating it for the listeners, you know, I think what you're referring to is making yourself marketable. I've often said, whether it be on the TikTok or on the past episodes, you know, the goal of being a working actor is to make yourself as indispensable as possible. So mm-hmm. as to what you just said, helping maybe talent navigate their way, first starting, I get a lot of questions about a big agency versus a smaller boutique. What are your thoughts? If I'm an actor and if I'm looking to wanting to be signed with an agency, and I want to go with this big flashy agency, but then there's also a smaller boutique that might be better suited towards me, what would your advice and or thoughts be on that?
I'm so glad that you asked me to do this. And this is ultimately the big question. Yeah. I think that, and the question that everybody is trying to really get answered. Mm-hmm. And as an actor who's worked on a lot of different levels, when it comes down to who is representing you, this is the way that I explain it. If you have an agent that you absolutely love, mm-hmm. and you feel like absolutely loves you, and you understand how they work, what they do, what they expect from you, etc., at a big agency or a small agency, your experience could be exactly the same. What I find is this, and what I'll challenge to anybody who's, what I'll present as a challenge to anybody who is listening to this. I think there is a common disconnect in what and how much power you give to somebody who is taking all your training, all your talent, all of your experience, all of your connection, is taking that in and kind of saying, all right, I'm gonna have everything that you've worked and gone to school to learn, I'm gonna do that, and now you go over there and just let me do what I do. Uh-huh. And I think that there are a lot of agencies out there that absolutely do that. But what I'll say to actors, and this is from coming behind the table and hearing horror story after horror story of what goes wrong when that is what is said to an actor. Hey, great. I'm gonna take you now, and I'm gonna make your career. Mm-hmm. The horror story is this. And partly the challenge that I keep talking about is, if you don't know who is representing you, you could be giving all your expertise, everything that you do, all your talent, and putting it into the hands of who? Somebody you don't really know that well, somebody that has a big giant name over their thing and has been around for a long time. One of the common horror stories that I hear is that an actor is shuffled from one agent to another. And suddenly they're being represented by somebody who they haven't even met. That's a scary proposition, in that they're in control of all your talent. You don't even know who this person is that's repping you. That's really scary. So again, the main challenge is to actors, and this is what I think, you know, is so important. And I say this to people who sign with me and who don't sign with me. You have the power. Your career is yours. Signing with the wrong agent is and often worse than not having one. How's that for a statement?
I mean, that's pretty spot on, which ties into my next question, piggybacking off of that. Well, this would be prior to that. So you have your intent, let's say you have your top four. Okay, I'm interested in these four agencies, whether they be a smaller boutique or a big agency, whichever, right? Some agents only do referrals. Some agents just want like, here's our email. You can submit us a cover letter. I think you and I have talked about this, but again, for the audience, if you're going to submit to an agent, what should be included in your media kit / cover letter? Especially if you're someone who's coming out of high school or and or college, transitioning into the professional market, how would you advise them on that?
I think it's different for every agency, and I think you have to do your due diligence and do your research, mm-hmm. to find out what they like, and try to give each agency their version of what they're looking for. If somebody wants material, if somebody wants just a picture and a resume, if somebody wants a cover letter, for me personally, things that I don't like are when somebody leads their email with, this is how great I am, and this is all of the things that I've done, and this is et cetera, and this is who I've gone in for. That, to me, that isn't how I work, because what I like to do is I like to meet people mm-hmm. and then see, because I learned so much more in somebody's humanity as to whether I want to help nurture a career. You know, I have to enjoy someone's personality. I have to, you know, see them as the human and the artist that they are. So if somebody leads with an email to me like that, that's a hard appointment to set up. But that's just how I am as a person. The ones that do get me, and I do look at just about every single thing anybody sends me. The ones that do get me are ones that will come in with a funny story and are just hyper human. I got a cover letter from a girl that made me laugh so hard, and she didn't take herself too seriously, but obviously was hustling, because she sent also with this hilarious cover letter, some of the work that she's done. Have a look at this. I'm an artist. The way that I sell artists is by showing other artists what my artists do so well. So for me personally, that's how I get people appointments all the time. So it would make so much sense to do so. If you can show me how fantastic you are and that you're a human, we might be talking about something, right?
Right.
So it's give me, you know, show me what you do and then show me that you're human. And, you know, I say this a lot of the times, is usually by the time I'm at the interview stage, I know you're talented and I'm going to dig more, but we're meeting because I want to know what you're about.
Right.
And, you know, that comes from sitting at Anne's desk or sitting at my desk and hearing interview after interview of actors, again, coming in with those locked and loaded questions that their professor at school, who's never had an interview with an agent ever, told them to, you know, they gave them all these questions to ask, none of which show me personally what you do and what kind of person you are. There's the obvious, how many people do you represent? There's the, how many people on your roster? The actors that I go, oh, you're a human, you're an artist, let's talk about what you're excited about. The ones that nail that part of the interview are usually the ones I like to move forward with possibly representing. Mm. You know, I push back against the marketing idea a little bit, but I think that I'm personally in the minority there, because what does marketing mean? And maybe you can school me a little bit. To me, marketing is your work and who you are as a person, not just your website, not just your headshots, that thing that happens when somebody says, who am I to you? Where do I fit? I go, I just met you. I've got one picture, one video of you singing. I don't know who you are yet. So let's talk about that, you know?
I think, and I can only say this from my perspective as an actor, marketing oneself is knowing your product type and brand. Because all too often when you walk into a room, whether it be an audition or whether it be in an interview with an agent, and you ask us, not you per se, I'm just saying proverbially, when you ask us, what do you see yourself doing? What are you interested in? And for most kids, right, transitioning from high school to college, college to professional world, or however that, whichever way it worked for them, they gave a generic answer of, well, I want to do everything. Okay, well, that really doesn't help me. Is there anything specifically? And be with an intent of knowing, great, I want to pursue musical theater. And these are the avenues or genres of shows of which I know I'm right for, with still giving room for other to do other things and being open to that. Or I want to primarily focus on film and television. Great, here's my market. I know when I shave, I look like a kid and I will be playing a kid for quite some time. Secure the bag. Or when I grow my facial hair, I look grown and it makes me look different. Sure. Yeah. I don't know if that's answering your question, but in my mind, because this is the name of the podcast, the business of show, right? When you walk into a room and know yourself, and again, at 16, you don't know yourself well enough to know, or maybe you do, or, you know, even when I was 20, when I was 21, like I still didn't know myself well enough to know. I knew some things, but I didn't know well enough to know with, I could comfortably say these are the, I could comfortably say to you now, these are the shows that I know that I'm right for. This is what I want to aim or steer my direction in towards, which ties into this question. Let's say you've now signed with representation. Does the work stop even though you're signed? Meaning, I feel as though some people, well, I'm signed, so now my agent's just going to do all the work for me. I personally don't agree with that. I still think you should still be proactive and looking up things for yourself. And like maybe check, because you know, there were plenty of times I would check in with Anne from time to time. Hey, did I get submitted for this? Or I think I might be right for this. Do you think that's, is that a fair, not assumption, what's the word I'm looking for? Is that a fair assessment once you sign that you should still be proactive about the work?
This is so crucial. The way that I explain it is that you are driving down a road. It is your career. You are going to be moving forward. The idea that your agent is just going to kick you out of that car and start driving it forward is a problem, because unless you have really clear conversations, etc., your agent could take a turn, could do anything, go a different direction, slow down, speed up, forget what's in the trunk, etc. If you're not willing to keep moving forward and keep doing that stuff, you're in a way stopping the momentum that you've been having going. And the other way I kind of say this is that you're 90%, your agent is 10%. So to pull out the 90% and say, okay, good luck with me, that's almost always going to be adverse to your forward momentum. You know, my best clients and the ones that are the most proactive are obviously constantly trying to make opportunities for me. Huh. Because when it comes down to it, if, you know, while I don't make a ton on a student short, a ton of money, what I do make a ton of money on could be the then reel that student short clip goes into, right? Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, my clients, I'm very clear about, like, this is what kind of opportunities we need to both be creating. Mm-hmm. So down the road, my car can pull up and I can say, yo, you're good, man. I'm going to drive this. And then, you know, and then what that becomes is when casting directors just say, hey, yo, what's this actor doing? I didn't submit them for that thing. And I do have actors like that. Yeah. But that's only because those actors have been so proactive through their career to get to a place where an agent can then go, I'll call you. They're going to be calling, right?
It's not, you know, the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. There's a third option that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. It's who knows you. And so when we're talking about, you know, trying to be proactive, us or talent being the 90% and then the agent being the 10%, what are some things that you just tapped on them. What are some things that talent might not be aware of that they can have control? And I've often said that until you have the Roy to your Walt Disney, you have to be both. There is no rhyme or reason why you can't be the producer of your own life, which is essentially your career. What does it look like when someone's not being proactive and not taking full advantage of being the driver of their career?
What does that look like?
What does it look like when they are being the driver? I know you've just tapped on it somewhat.
I'm going to speak to both points.
Okay.
Your main thing that you can control as an artist is your work. Mm. Casting is looking for your talent. Mm. They find your website because of your talent. You can market all you want. Mm. You can have the best website ever. Mm. It can be the most beautiful thing anybody's ever seen. But when they go and your work is not on point, it's just a pretty website.
Oof.
And you know, there's these companies that these actors spend hundreds of dollars to shoot. This is going to be controversial. They spend hundreds of dollars to shoot these big, beautiful. It looks like a movie, mm-hmm. but if the work isn't good, mm-hmm. it looks like a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I have other actors who will shoot something in their living room, decent lighting, nothing great. It is the most heartbreaking thing anybody's ever seen, or it makes you laugh, or it has multiple layers. It's hyperhuman. It's awesome. They shot it in their living room and they get appointments for stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Why? Because their work is awesome. Mm. If you've got somebody in your corner who's putting your work in front of casting directors, what they're, you know, it's just giving casting directors what they want, your amazing work. Mm. The marketing is secondary to that. I think when you have it, mm-hmm. and your website is beautiful and your work is awesome, that serves a purpose. But I always say, if you're worried about whether you need to have some more material that shows how great you are, or you need to have Instagram followers, the obvious answer to me is you need to have more examples of your work. Because if you go to Instagram and see something that's subpar, your Instagram isn't helping you. It is actually hurting you in many cases.
Would it be fair to say then in that instance, because as you've just said, who will spend hundreds of dollars on all this footage, right? Quality versus quantity. Even if you shoot it on your iPhone, but you're still delivering great work, whether that be you singing or whether that be you doing a scene or dancing, is that okay? If it's quality work, not necessarily quality in the retina of the camera, but is that okay?
Is it okay to have it?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's crucial. That's what I'm meaning to say. If you can show somebody and you have create avenues to show people your excellent work, mm-hmm. your marketing becomes what? Not your headshot, not that, your artistry, your work. Mm-hmm. It is, and where I think, you know, especially since everything's gone so digital, what I think's really important to understand is that now everybody's watching video. Everybody's looking at this stuff.
Truth.
And that's why I, you know, get on my actors and say, if you can show me you doing this at an expert level, I'm going to try to get you jobs so you can do it at an expert level. It is where an actor's energy should always be. the marketing comes second. I think it always will. You wouldn't believe how many really, really fantastic actors who work all the time don't have websites.
Wow. In this day and age, for either people just starting or younger people coming up, is it imperative to have a website or just a place where they can go see your work?
It only matters if what is on your website is excellent.
Okay.
Do I think casting directors go and look? Absolutely. But, you know, every once in a while, because in my intake meeting, when I meet with actors, I'm going to go look at your website. And I'm also going to tell you what I think you should maybe take down. Or maybe you sent something along that isn't on your website, and I will try to get you to put it up on your website. Yeah. I was like, you need to lead with this because this seems to be your best work. Uh-huh. Or I'll say, this website needs to be completely revamped and take it down until we're ready for it. Because that's a way I, as an agent, protect somebody from stumbling upon something that isn't so great. Hmm. You know?
What do you say back to the proactiveness when actors aren't taking advantage of this thing that we call the internet, and they say, great, well, I want to do film and TV, or I want to do theater, but I just don't know in the way to get there. Well, a lot of casting directors or choreographers or directors or agents do really good seminars or webinars or Clubhouse, which is the latest feature. And they advertise us all the time for some of their seminars for free on YouTube, not stalking them, but checking out their social media of their Instagram or their Twitter, where they're giving away what they look for. Do you think that's also a part of proactiveness?
Talk more about giving away what they're looking for.
So I want to do film and TV. Okay, what in film and TV? I want to do ABC. Okay, great. What showrunners or casting directors offer free advice of what they're looking for when they're casting, or what they look for when they're working for people and talent? I think it would be a wasted opportunity if I know that, say, Shonda Rhimes was doing a seminar or in one of her interviews when she's asked about what she looks for when she's casting, that would behoove me to take advantage of that for free, since she's offering that information, to go check out what she looks for when she's looking for talent. Now, obviously you won't be in front of her directly because she ain't got time, but for someone who might work under her, what they're looking for via her parameters. Do you think that would be proactive or behoove actors to do that due diligence when it comes to intent?
Sure. I think, you know, if you can gather that kind of data and make it make sense, here's a story that I think kind of sums up how and why I feel the way I do about this. One of the first things that Anne wanted me to do when I started working with her as an agent, she wanted me to go to a NAITR meeting. And NAITR is basically an organization that gets theatrical representatives together to meet casting directors, ask questions, what's changing, etc. Now, I was brand new. I wasn't asking questions. I just sat and listened. And there were six people on the panel that cast all the biggest everything. And this was when I went, oh my gosh, this industry is absolutely insane. It's because I sat there and I listened to the biggest casting directors for 45 minutes kind of argue with each other about what they wanted and what they didn't. And I was like, okay. So yeah, you can go and you can try to find out what Shonda Rhimes wants, or you can look at the big picture and say, what's the common thread? The big reason why I think the common thread is talent and how great you are doing what these people want you to do, be it TV and film, be it theater, be it music theater, be it classical theater, etc. So because I was sitting there and going, these people don't have a common thing that they want other than they want to meet our people and they want us to show them how fantastic they are. So we came back to, you know, this was years ago, we came back to the office and I said, this is kind of ridiculous. No, there is no industry standard other than if you can show them how great you are, you will create opportunities. Is it important to know that one casting director likes you to look into the camera and that's the only one? Or, you know, this one is more specific about your setup for videotaping. This one wants you to be completely off book for your musical theater auditions, etc. Is it important to know that stuff? Yeah, but it still boils down into showing them your best work.
Dang, that's good. Josh, thank you. I'm gonna have to bring you back for part two. I mean, there's a lot more to discuss about this. But as we wind down with our closing questions, what would mature you say to younger you at the beginning of your career?
Yeah. What would mature me say? You know, I was always just pushing forward. I was such a curious person. I think maybe I would go that. Just keep being willing to learn. Keep moving forward. And I think I say this to some younger actors who are like, how do I even get going? And this is people who like are nowhere near in a position to be ready for an agent. I say yes to as much as you can. And, you know, audition for as much as you can and just try to be in the room in any way you can. I also think something that I wish somebody would have said to me was, you want to be an actor, but make sure you learn all the other things in show business.
Say that again, one more time, please.
You want to be an actor, but make sure you learn all the other jobs that are in show business. And something that I get so funny is, I'll go and I'll judge a solo contest somewhere and, you know, get to actually have one-on-one time with soloists who are, you know, high school kids trying to figure out if they want to do it. And their parents walk up to me and they say, is my kid talented enough? Show business makes me nervous, etc. I go, relax. This is a big giant business. And as somebody who was an actor, who's now an agent, who never even had being an agent on their radar at all, look, instead of being scared that you're not going to make it in the avenue that you want to, maybe in show business, learn as much as you can about all the other things that are out there, and you just might be a better actor because you understand what the box office person does, and you understand what an usher does, and you understand what the lighting designer does, and you understand what the choreographer does. Because in that bigger bubble of the entertainment industry, what you're doing is you are building perspective, you're building understanding. So when you're in the room with these other people, you go, wow, without all these moving pieces, my being an actor doesn't matter. And then you become the kind of person who understands that we're kind of all in this artistic adventure together. And I know what you do. Thank you. I know what you do. Hell yeah. I know what you do. Kick ass. I know what you do. Great. And then they see you see that because you have done the due diligence instead of worrying about your website constantly. Maybe go look for what other opportunities are out there and get into that, because you might be a relatively decent actor who produces the best musical that anybody's ever seen later in life, because you were learning about that as well. I wish somebody would have said show business is huge. Look at all of this.
If I had a magic wand that could grant you anything, now you already have unlimited funds and resources. What could I grant you if I had a magic wand with those things already in place? If you didn't have to worry about those things, what would it be?
Show business question?
Nope, just personal life.
Magic wand. I think that if I had a magic wand, I would I think I would have a world where actors, agents, casting directors, and all the gatekeepers, as it were, could come back to the table and create a space for ethics in show business to be on the front end of it. And the reason I say that, and be the thing that matters most. And the reason that I say that is because obviously I've heard the horror stories that I've heard. I think that because of quarantine and because of everybody slowing down and going, what's my role in show business as an actor, as an agent, etc., I think people are seeing a lot of the unethical practice that is out there, a lot of the taking advantage of, a lot of the miscommunication, a lot of the misrepresentation, a lot of the conversations about race and gender inequality and all that stuff is trying to find a way in the construct that already exists. That like, yeah, great. How do we make space for transgender actors? And how do I make space for some racial equality? And how do I do that? I think if everybody came back to the table and said, okay, well, where's the real power lie? And how are we going to handle this ethically, not just as a quote unquote business, that we could move out of quarantine into show business in a way that people aren't worried that we're just going to go back to the way it was, but we're going to cast a few more African-American actors and maybe put a few more trans actors into TV shows. And maybe I think it's a real big conversation that I think a lot of people are not wanting to have, because the old world is always fighting against people who are trying to have change in the industry that's felt long overdue.
Professional and private, what does the future look like for you going forward?
Professionally, I think I'm really excited about being an agent, trying to keep pulling back the curtain and showing actors what's going on and giving them the power for them to have some control. And I'm really excited about our growth, because, you know, we've primarily been a TV, a theatrical agency, and now we've pivoted, I think, very well into the TV world, and are being known as much for that as for our theater actors. I think that is something that I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out as the agency grows into something not much bigger, but maybe a little bigger than what Ann Steele would have possibly dreamt it to be. I love the idea of carrying, you know, a woman who I owe so much of my career to, and you as well, carrying that torch forward and being, you know, being known as being an ethical and a driven and growing agency who takes care of our actors. I think that's going to be fun to see how that turns into, you know, business. Uh-huh. And personally, you know, last year was absolutely crazy taking over a company, and everything that happened in my internal sphere. What I think I'm most excited about personally is, you know, the musical that I wrote is this close to its first enhancement. And it's really right for the time. And I'm really excited about that. And I wrote another show with another friend during quarantine that I think is pretty groundbreaking too. And then starting a new project now with somebody else that I think are all really exciting artistically and personally. I am completely fulfilled. So it's going to be exciting. These next couple of years are going to be pretty wild.
Right on. And I think you just said it, but before my final question, is there anything you want to plug before we wrap this up?
Anything I want to plug?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. My brother and I wrote a show that tours the country. It's called Forever Young. We're going to do a tour this next year. Okay. That is really exciting and has been kind of a work in progress that is finally going to be, you know, we're finally going to get to see a bunch of really good houses and audiences all over America, which is fun. That we're doing another kind of reading presentation of Oswald, which is the musical that I've been referring to, this summer. And then hopefully if theaters open up, we have a theater that wants to put up the enhancement of our show, which is based on Lee Harvey Oswald's life told through the eyes of his 80-year-old widowed wife who splits him into two people.
Wow.
One's the guy that goes to the sixth floor of the book depository to save John F. Kennedy, and the other one goes to kill him.
Right on.
And how her life has been split in two ever since he was shot in the basement of the Dallas police headquarters all those years ago. So, you know, it's a really exciting story and is, you know, obviously pretty apropos for the time in that it's about conspiracy theory and the people behind them and what happens when people believe things that are maybe not entirely true. So it's going to be a wild ride. And I'm excited about that too. Those are my plugs.
Juicy. Final question. Where can the people find you on social media?
I don't do a ton. I started an Ann Steele agency Instagram. There's nothing on it currently. I started a Facebook page. There's nothing on it. There's nothing on it currently because still strategizing with my crew about how we want to handle it, et cetera. So they can look me up personally. You know, my Instagram is, I think, just Josh Sassanella, at Josh Sassanella. But I've found that social media over the last year has been a lot to handle. So I'm not super active because I'm trying to be a business owner and try to create opportunities for my actors. So you can come find me. I'm not sure how much you will see.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. Rate and review this podcast and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on next week's episode of How to Business in Show Business.